Hi everyone, my name is Yue. Today I will be talking about erasing Volatis limitations in search of flash cache offline optimality. This is joint work with my colleagues Fred, Phil, Michael, and Grant at EMC Princeton office, and Peter from Northeastern University, and Kai from Princeton University. To start up with, first is a little bit about the background. In this work, we are focusing on flash SSDs, which are quite different from the traditional hard disk drives, in the sense that flash SSDs require some sort of erasing process before it can write any new data. Besides, flash SSDs have a certain endurance constraint, where the number of erasures of a given location with the device is limited. Hence, when talking about flash SSDs, what we really want to know is how to get the best performance benefit out from the SS device while being able to minimize the erasure penalty. Flash can be used in many different scenarios. Among all those, we are particularly interested in using flash as a cache for the hard disk drives, targeting primary storage workload. So in such a typical deployment, as is shown on the right-hand side of this slide, the flash SSD serves as a caching tier between, you know, the DRAM cache layer and the HDD layer. There are a bunch of related works along this line. Nitro first explored the trade-offs between space efficiency and performance by using data compression and deduplication techniques. RIPQ is an advanced flash caching framework for static web content caching at Facebook. And Pioneer, which is our most recent work, is a compound object flash caching algorithm that strives to balance the performance against endurance. But all these works are solely about online flash caching. So how can we know if any of these online flash caching solution is really doing well? And how far are they from the best case scenario? Well, to answer this question, we are exploring the solution space for such an offline solution where it can serve as a practical best case baseline for comparison purposes in the context of flash caching. When talking about offline optimality, many years ago, Blatty shows there is a simple caching algorithm that always gives the best read-hit ratio when we know about the future. This algorithm, what we call min here, so how it works is basically it evicts the items that will be used further in the future. Min does not take erasures into account. In the context of general memory paging, this is not a problem at all. However, it's not necessarily guaranteed for a min to also provide the optimal number of erasures in the context of flash caching, which is shown in this small scatter plot in the right corner of this slide. This is just because min simply inserts data that won't actually be read in the future. Regarding the offline optimality in flash caching, we are targeting three different objectives. So in this talk, for the time being, I will be only covering the first objective, which is to minimize the number of erasures subject to maximum read-hit ratio. So the details of the other two objectives, please refer to the paper. So given this major goal, what we really want to know is how could we compute the optimal solution if both resources such as storage or computation are not an issue? And in turn, what is the complexity? Now, to be honest, the true optimal part is so far not solved yet, which we believe to be NP-hard. So to simplify the problem, we are focusing on how to approximate the optimal algorithm in this work. So next, I will explain how min works. The basic unit of the cache is what we call block here, the size of which is 4 KB in this example. And the core data structure of this algorithm is a block-based priority queue, where all the blocks are ranked based on its next reference timestamp. So how we get the next reference timestamp information is basically by giving a pass and annotating on the traces. So take this queue on the right-hand side, for example. It has its head block has a next reference time of 6, which is the smallest among all the blocks in the queue, while its tail block has a next reference time stamp of 128, which is the largest. So how it works is it basically does not insert data whose next reference is the most distant in the future. And in this example, this purple block has a next reference time of 200, which is greater than 128. So it's just simply dropped without being inserted into the cache. In this example, a new block comes with a next reference time of 18. So it's inserted into this position, which is slightly far away from the head of the queue, but before the midpoint, which is 48. So let's next look at the key components that we use to convert the basic bloodless mean to a container-optimized offline heuristic. Beside the block-based mean priority queue, we introduce the container structure here. A container is basically aligned with the race unit within the flash device. And it's a basic unit for insertion and eviction for the flash cache. Actually, there are many different possible names for a container. For example, SSE block or red erase unit, etc. In this work, we call it a container. A container can hold multiple blocks. And in our case, we use a container size of 2 megabytes. Any memory write buffer is a priority queue structure that resides in memory, which is used to buffer the blocks to be written to the flash cache. It's of multiple containers, and we use a write buffer size of 8 megabytes in our case, which is worth of 4 containers. A container priority queue is an in-memory queue structure as well, which is used to keep track of the coarse-grained container-level information at runtime. So the rationale behind here is by combining the container priority queue with the block-based mean queue, we are able to achieve the optimal read-hit ratio while staying container optimized. So let's next see how the heuristic handles insert. We kind of extend the admission control of the basic bloodless mean a little bit in the following way. A block is inserted into the cache if, first, its next reference is not an overwrite, nor the most distant. And second, it won't be evicted before being read. So how we do this is we run bloodless mean in a first run to annotate the traces with eviction timestamp for each and every block within the block level traces. And in the next run, we just simply filter out those that are not read before being evicted in the first place. The eviction timestamp information is used to determine the position of a particular block within the in-memory write buffer queue. And the next reference timestamp is used to determine the position of a block within the block-based mean queue. For this example, block A comes with an eviction timestamp of 15 and next reference timestamp of 10. So it's first inserted into this position within the write buffer queue, and then inserted into this position within the block-based mean queue. When block B comes, since it has an eviction time of 25, which means that block will be evicted out of the cache later than block A, so it's inserted into this position after block A within the write buffer queue. And when it's going to be inserted into the block-based mean queue, since it has a next reference time of 6, which is smaller than that of block A, so it's just inserted into this position relatively before block A within the block-based mean queue. The write buffer is dispersed into multiple containers when it's full. And the memory container structures are constructed and inserted into the container priority queue. And then the containers are flushed to the flash cache in parallel. And the location, et cetera, information are recorded accordingly in the runtime status. There are 3 different states associated with each and every block in the flash cache. a valid state, an invalid state, and a red-colored evict pending state. A new block is inserted into the cache with a valid state. Whenever it gets overridden, its state turns from valid to invalid. And the red-colored evict pending state indicates, okay, the main algorithm evicts that particular block, and it's just temporarily residing within that container until that particular container is garbage collected. The container queue is ranked by the number of valid blocks in each and every container. As time goes by, the container structure status gets updated. Some of the blocks are being evicted by blood is mean, so we just mark them at the red colored evict pending, and some of them are just being overridden, so we just mark them as invalid. Whenever the cache is full, so it evicts the tail container to make room for the new data. And in this example, this container happens to hold the most number of invalid blocks. So it's picked for eviction. The blocks marked as red color evict pending are simply discarded, while the remaining valid blocks are copied forward back into this in-memory write buffer for future use. So next, I'm going to talk about the optimization technique that we use to minimize the number of erasures imposed to the flash cache. We use four different optimization techniques at different stages of the heuristic. R1 is the entry-level, most basic optimization technique, which is used to avoid the insertions that will be evicted before being read. As I said earlier, this requires multiple pre-processing on the trays. The second optimization technique is trim, which is nothing new, but an SSH command which is used to inform the drive to not to copy forward dead blocks at garbage collection phase. By dead, I mean the next reference of that particular block is an override, or it will never get reaccessed in the future. And there's a third optimization technique, which we call the copy forwarding reduction. This is somehow similar to R1, but a little more advanced. So what it does is it further removes the copied forward blocks, which will be evicted before being read in the copy forwarding phase. The fourth technique that we use is what we call E here. Is where we segregate blocks based on eviction timestamp information and consolidate blocks that are about to be evicted or die together by leveraging the in-memory write buffer queue. In evaluation, we pick 34 block-level story traces from three different trace repositories. One proprietary trace repository, which is EMC VMAX, and two publicly available trace repositories, Microsoft Research Cambridge and Microsoft Production Servers. We shrink the range of the traces to limit to large enough data set size. We also implement the heuristics on top of a superb full system flash cache simulator, which was originally implemented by Chung Lee. And in our evaluation, we vary the cache size as a function of the working set size of the trays from 1% to 10%. And we use 2.5% and 10% for the rest of the talk. We target three major metrics in the evaluation: a performance metric in terms of rehear ratio, and an endurance metric in terms of erasures per block per day, or EPBPD. Actually, EPBPD is a flash metric which is commonly used by industrial manufacturers. And a third metric, which is a function of both performance and endurance, what we call weighted flash usage effectiveness, or WFUE here. So I won't be covering WFUE for the time being, so interested readers, please refer to the paper for more detail. In the first test, we compare a bunch of online and offline caching algorithms. Let's first look into the rehear ratio, which is shown on the far left-hand side. The re-hit ratio is average across all the 34 different traces. The higher, the better. Now here we show the result under the 2.5% cache size. First, LRU is the most widely used caching algorithm, which is obviously not container optimized. On average, LRU achieves around 35 in terms of re-hit ratio. RIPQ is a flash caching framework used by Facebook for advanced photo caching. We select to use the segmented LRU as a caching algorithm, and we add the override support to make it RIPQ plus. As we can see, RIPQ plus achieves around 38% in terms of re-hit ratio. Pioneer is an advanced flash caching algorithm which segregates frequently accessed containers and directly handles divergent containers and supports invalidations. Hence, it achieves higher re-hit ratio compared to both, you know, LRU and RIPQ+. Besides the online algorithm, we also evaluate three offline caching algorithms. The first one is the basic case Bloody Min, and the second one is Min+, which is what we build on top of the basic meme by adding the R1 and trim support. And a third case, which is our design, what we call C here. As we can see, C achieves the same identical re-hit ratio. This is because C uses the block-based min queue for keeping track of the fine-grained block-level information and makes the eviction decision based on the min logic. Next, we look at the endurance metric, which is erasures per block per day, or EPBPD. The lower, the better. A RIPQ plus and Pioneer achieve significantly lower erasures compared to the baseline case LRU in the online algorithm subset. This is because both RIPQ plus and Pioneer, they write to the flash cache at the granularity of containers. Offline algorithm further reduce the erasures by an order of magnitude, roughly. If we look at C, C gets a non-trivial reduction on erasures. This is because C trims down the dead blocks at the copy for a garbage collection phase and explicitly handles data at the container granularity. Hence, it reduces the number of erasures by around two-thirds compared to the baseline case, Bloody's mean. More importantly, it achieves the same identical optimal re-hit ratio as mean does. Next, we quantify the contribution of different offline heuristic optimizations that we use. Again, the cache size is set to 2.5% of the working set size. We start with the baseline case mean, which gives an EPBPD value of 30 by using R1 to remove all the insertions that are evicted before being read. We save around 27% erasures from the baseline case mean. By enabling trim to eliminate the dead copy for word blocks, we further save around 32% in terms of erasures from min plus R1 combination. Next, on top of R1 and trim, if we further eliminate those that are evicted before being read, at the copy forwarding phase, using the technique a copy forwarding reduction, or CFR, we are able to save another 20%. Finally, by segregating blocks by eviction timestamp and consolidate them that are about to die together, we see a reduction of about 17% on erasures. In total, with all the optimizations on, we are able to save around 67% erasures compared to the baseline case, Bloody Min. If we have a bigger 10% cache size, we see that trim has the most enormous contribution on towards erasure saving. Now, this is because under the biggest cache size, the garbage collection activities are the least intensive. Hence, the effect of trim gets dramatically amplified. To conclude, it's really important to have a practical baseline for the offline optimal, considering both performance in terms of reheat ratio and flash endurance. Hence, we designed and implemented a container-optimized heuristic, which is able to maintain the optimal reheat ratio while being able to reduce erasures by up to 67%. Additional optimizations might be possible to move our heuristic to the true optimal. Although we've presented only a heuristic, we believe the absolute optimal would be much harder to compute. Hence, we welcome anyone with interest in proving this upper bound with us. So that completes my talk. Thank you.
So Yue, one question I have for you is you show in the graph that you achieve an optimal RHR. Is that something you prove, or is that something you sort of measure empirically? Like, are you confident that at least the RHR you know is optimal?
Yes, because it's formally proved that blood is mean can achieve the optimal reheat ratio.
And so you're not deviating, like, with respect to how you, with the RHR you achieve, your algorithm doesn't do anything that blood is mean wouldn't also be able to do?
Yeah.
Okay. And so the other one thing I'd like to clarify is this heuristic is meant to, I mean, it's an offline algorithm. You're not going to run it, but it's meant to provide a baseline so that as people evaluate future online algorithms, they can ask how close they're getting to something we heuristically think is close to optimal.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So this is, one of the most important contributions of this work is we provide a practical baseline for evaluating any online caching algorithm, as you just pointed out. Yeah.
Okay, good. I think that's a good way to look at it. All right, thank you for the presentation.
All right, thanks.
Any other questions? All right, thank you.